time to dive into the world of health, fitter, happier. The last few years has seen a significant increase in e-cigarette use, commonly known as vaping, by young people globally. And there's been a 96% increase in Australia alone since 1st of October 2021. It's now illegal to buy or import nicotine vaping products from overseas without a prescription, bringing into line with existing state and territory laws for things for sale within Australia. Joining us today to discuss vaping and all the new laws is Maurice Swanson from the Australian Council on Smoking and Health. Good morning.
Good morning, Ram, and good morning to your listeners.
Can you tell us a bit about your background and what the council does?
Okay, well, I've been working in tobacco control for 40 years now. I'm currently the chief executive of the Australian Council on Smoking and Health, which is a dedicated health charity to reduce the prevalence of smoking in Australia, and we work mainly in advocating for changes in laws and policies that put a downward pressure on smoking in the community.
The with vaping, we've now seen the change that if you want to, you can't import it anymore. Is this going to make a big difference to what people are experiencing here in Western Australia?
Well, we think it will, and we hope it will. So it's now illegal to buy or import nicotine vaping products. So that includes disposable vaping products or liquids that can't contain nicotine without a valid prescription from a doctor. And those changes came in on the 1st of October. And it's a result of the Therapeutic Goods Administration, which is a famous organisation.
We all know it well in the times of COVID.
That's right. And they have, with the support of their minister, Greg Hunt, rescheduled nicotine from Schedule 7 to Schedule 4, which does a couple of things. It provides consistency and clarity between the state and territory laws, because both the Commonwealth and the states and territories have a role in medicines and poisons regulation. And as a result of that, it will clear up the process of enforcement for the illegal use of nicotine or the illegal importation of nicotine.
E-cigarettes and vaping is commonly seen as being harmless compared to your more traditional cigarettes. Is that true, or are they still very harmful for you?
They are certainly not harmless. And if I can just run through a few issues here. First of all, with safety concerns. So nicotine is a poisonous and toxic substance, both from accidental use point of view or consumption point of view or an intentional one. It's particularly toxic for the developing brain, and that's why it's so important to keep these disposable devices that contain nicotine out of the hands of kids and young people. It can cause seizures. It can cause injuries and burns from the exploding lithium-ion batteries that these disposable devices contain. It can cause both acute lung injury and long-term addiction to nicotine. There's a whole world of harm caused by the disposal of the waste products that these devices create. And we're particularly concerned about the use of e-cigarettes containing nicotine by young non-smokers, because there's very firm evidence now that this increases the risk by threefold of naive non-smokers who use e-cigarettes going on to smoke traditional cigarettes. And if I could add, Graham, the other major concern about this whole debate that's been going on for 4 or 5 years now is that it's been a massive, and I mean huge, distraction from effective evidence-based strategies to reduce smoking in the WA community and nationally. If you do an analysis of media coverage over the last 3 to 4 years, you hardly get a mention about those evidence-based strategies that have been proven to reduce smoking. For example, hard-hitting television advertising campaigns. You might remember the national tobacco campaign of the late 90s where gunk was squeezed out of the aorta, an important artery in the body, and the accumulation of fat and cholesterol that's caused by smoking. That was a tremendously successful campaign at reducing smoking in Australia, promoting quit attempts, but we haven't had a federally funded anti-smoking campaign of that nature since 2013. The oxygen has just been sucked out of the debate by a debate about e-cigarettes.
You're listening to Fitter Happier on the record on RTRFM 92.1. Graeme Watson with you this morning. I'm talking to Murray Swanson, who is from the Australian Council for Smoking and Health. And joining us in the studio is Scott Phillips from Kids Safe WA. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Graeme. Good morning, Morris.
If I can ask you, Scott, you know, we haven't seen those campaigns. I'm a little bit older, actually. I remember that only a galah would suck tar from the 80s would be of my era of anti-smoking campaign. But why haven't we seen it? And is there a really big need for it for kids nowadays? Do kids still need that anti-smoking message?
I think we do. I think as a general public, we do. I think some of this work that Morris was just talking about needs to be redone. But we're starting to see new products coming in that may be targeting our teenagers and inadvertently targeting our children. So just putting that message out to parents. I don't think all the parents are aware of the danger of these at this point. They seem to be everywhere. Even the illegality of them at the moment, I'm not sure that's there's a public awareness of that.
We often hear that vaping, which, you know, now you need a prescription to go and get, and you can't import it without a prescription from overseas. It's a big legal change we're seeing. We often hear vaping as being a pathway to people giving up smoking. Would the argument, you know, might be put forward that by making this harder to get into vaping, is it making harder for people to quit?
I think Morris would probably be able to answer that better than me.
What do you say, Morris?
Well, the evidence for e-cigarettes being an effective way to give up smoking is very skinny and very uncertain. There have been 11 randomised controlled trials of e-cigarettes. And remember, randomised controlled trials are, an experiment to compare different forms of treatment or treatment versus no treatment to see whether what you're testing is effective. There have been 11 of those, and the evidence from those is very slim indeed, and certainly not enough to recommend them above the existing approved nicotine replacement therapies. By that I mean the patches, the gums, the oral sprays that contain lower concentrations of nicotine that have been approved by the TGA. We talked earlier about the fact that people will be able to get e-cigarettes if they have a doctor's prescription from those pharmacies stocking them. But that should not be misinterpreted to mean that the TGA has approved them as effective and safe. It's really a compromise that they've decided to trial to make these products available for a very small number of smokers who have tried all of the approved products and they still can't give up and they want to try it, and the best way of them trying it is under a doctor's supervision. But I need to stress one point. We've seen a huge decline in smoking in Australia since the early 1980s when I started working in this area. At that time, one in three adults were regular smokers. We're now down to one in 10. And 80 to 90% of the people that have given up smoking over that 40-year period have done so on their own using the cold turkey method. So I mentioned e-cigarettes. I mentioned earlier that they're a weapon of mass distraction. It's because there's a lot of energy being put into promoting them by the tobacco industry and their fellow travellers. But the evidence for them being the panacea, you know, the magic bullet that's going to help everyone that is still smoking to give up is a nonsense. And along with it comes the huge risk that young kids, Scott mentioned, we've seen an increase in the use of these products by young people. Parents are confused about how dangerous they are. The real danger is that they will increase the likelihood of those non-smoking kids, and we're down to less than 5% across the whole community, taking up smoking because it increases their risk of doing that once they're addicted to nicotine from the e-cigarettes by threefold.
Scott, if I can ask you, Morrison mentioned this a little bit earlier, that there are other dangers. There are dangers in poisoning and burns from e-cigarettes. Can you expand on that a little bit? Like what occurs there?
So KidSafe's interest here is we have a broader interest in public health and the scourge of nicotine and tobacco products. But from a KidSafe point of view and injury, we have a poisoning problem here. We also have a burns problem. So nicotine is lethal. In a teaspoon of nicotine to a child can actually kill them. And it can also be absorbed through the skin, so not just ingestion or through them rubbing it in their eyes. We did have a little girl in Victoria who passed last year due to just tasting some of mum's nicotine fluid. So the problem that we have is, from a poisoning point of view, is we've got people who may have hoarded nicotine before the 1st of October, thinking that they'd get ahead of this ban, which was actually there already, but they've got this hanging around the house. We're not sure how it's been disposed of or whether kids are getting access to it. And we're having parents being chemists trying to mix things together in their house with children around. From a burns point of view, these all have batteries. They're illegal devices to come into the state, so we're not sure the quality of some of them. And we've had a number of the batteries explode in people's pockets. So we've got a burns problem. That's right across the generations.
Yeah. I remember sitting with my late father in the hospital when he was dealing with, you know, heart problems, and talking to a doctor who said, you know, when did you give up smoking? And he said, 20 years ago. And the doctor was like, oh, only 20 years ago. You know, and sadly, he passed away from, you know, heart disease. Morris, we know we have, you know, immediate effects from smoking, but how long does the effects of smoking stay with you?
Okay, well, that's an interesting story about your father, because the sooner you give up smoking, the sooner your risk starts to reduce from those chronic diseases that smoking causes. With cardiovascular disease, including heart disease, which it sounds like your father had.
Yeah, definitely.
Within 5 years, on average, you're back to the risk of a non-smoker. But obviously, if you're talking about someone who's only smoked for 5 years versus someone who's smoked for 40 years...
Or 60.
A lot of damage, yeah. Yeah, a lot of damage has been done because it's all about exposure. And that's why we're very concerned about the long-term harms of e-cigarettes, because we've known for 70 years, more than 70 years, that ordinary smoking of traditional cigarettes increases significantly your risk of heart disease, of 16 different types of cancer, and many serious forms of lung disease. So that's traditional smoking. With e-cigarettes, they really haven't been around long enough, because in turn, the lungs of those who are using them chronically have not been exposed for a long enough period to all of the nasties that are in the aerosol that's being produced by these devices. So we are concerned. We haven't got long-term data on their long-term health effects. Scott's just very elegantly talked about the immediate and toxic effects and the dangers of exploding batteries, etc. But time will tell as to the long-term and chronic health effects of e-cigarettes. It's just not soon enough for us to be definitive about those.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Record. Maurice Swanson, Scott Phillips, I think is something we should definitely keep following and definitely interested to find out, you know, how we get those federal campaigns back online and getting that message out. Thanks for joining us this morning, guys.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're on The Record on RTR FM 92.1.